welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 2001 and before.
And today we're not doing either of those two things. It's not cult and it's not from 2001 and before.
Yeah, and it's not, no.
Future cult, future cult.
This is future cult. We're watching a cartoon, Bluey, and I know almost nothing about Bluey. I've got Mackenzie right next to me. What is Bluey?
It's two sisters that are funny and they are with their mum and dad and they do really funny things together.
Oh, right.
What? So are they humans?
No, they're doggies.
They're doggies?
Oh.
Okay.
What type of dogs are they?
So the mum and Bingo are red heelers and then Bingo and the dad are blue heelers.
All right, hence Bluey.
Bluey's the name of the eldest girl. It's an Australian show. It's set in Queensland. It is very Aussie and it is very watchable. And we didn't realise, I mean, there's so many kids' shows that she gets us onto, but this one, it's other planet, and we'll just sit and watch it as a family because it's so good.
This one's actually fantastic on a couple of levels as well, because while it's well-written and it's animated in Australia, and so we're trying to push for the animation industry and stuff like that to be kept in Australia, and so this was one of the big things that we were able to go, we produced this, we should be making more shows and stuff. So, yeah.
Like, from a parent's sense, it's really good because it's very realistic, and one of the things that they do is the kids will play, but it's all completely imagination based. It's like they're not playing with things. It's all stuff like it will be imagination play where they'll play pretend and make up stories, or they'll do scenarios, and some of the stuff, it's stuff that we used to do as kids. It's not like it doesn't need drama to propel the story forward. It tells morals and gives advice, you know, but not in a heavy-handed way. It's just really done in a kind of realistic way. That's from an adult's, a parent's point of view, but yeah, it's also really entertaining.
Because Mackenzie's not the only child that I've heard talk about Bluey in a very positive light. I've heard it mentioned a couple of times. Like a mixture of
even adults.
Relatives and adults, and yeah, it seems to be a very strong current.
People that watch it really, really love it.
Okay, so who's actually watched it? So I understand Mackenzie has. Lisa, you've watched it. Alex, have you seen this before?
No, I've heard it glowing praise in terms of, like, this is a really good kids' show, but I've not actually seen it.
Yeah.
Okay, this is currently on iView, so people can go along and watch it.
It's on ABC Kids, like, a couple of times a day, but yeah, ABC iView, I think, has got, like, 60
at
episodes.
At 8 o'clock.
Oh, it's on at 8 o'clock in the morning or after evening?
Morning.
Morning. And that's yeah, early. I think ABC iView's
good. This is why I wake up.
That's while she's getting ready for school and things like that. So, but yeah, there's about 60 episodes on iView, and I think they only go for about 7 minutes each, so they're quite watchable. But yeah, there has been times where I've gone into the dining room, and I think I've said it on this podcast before, and Adrian will be watching, like, he'll be doing dishes or cleaning up or whatever, and Bluey's on, and I'm like, oh, it looks like she's left the room, and Bluey's on, and do you want me to just turn it off and put on one of your shows? He's like, no, I put this on. Like, sit and watch Bluey because it's just really good to watch.
I was going to say, it's probably a worthwhile shout out to all our older viewers that think that cartoons are terrible for and too childish for adults to watch. Watch children's shows. They're written so well.
Yes.
They are actually written really well, and there's a lot of education that you can still get out of them to this day.
Yep.
It's beautiful.
It varies from show to show. So we watched a movie at Christmas.
Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah, it was the most brain-dead kids movie we have ever seen.
What was it?
Which one was that?
It's like Klaus or something?
No, Klaus? No. It was no, that was shown by us.
You mean the other one?
The other one.
I only remember one.
Yeah, it was some abominable snowman or something, and there was someone trying to capture the abominable snowman kids, and the kids were pretending to be dogs in a house. And
yeah.
It was really poorly animated, quite recent, and so completely brain dead.
But there's also great ones like Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yes.
There's Avatar Korra as well. Steven Universe is a fantastic one to watch.
Gravity Falls.
Mm-hmm. Dragon Prince. If no one has watched that, watch it. There's a woman who is deaf in it, and she is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
She is really well depicted. She's really well shown. And so a lot of the newer stuff that's coming out now is that, like, in Avatar Last Airbender, there's a blind girl who's, like, an amazing earthbender. She is the best earthbender there is.
Mm-hmm.
And so these shows are showing you that even though you're different, you can grow as a person.
And still be amazing.
And still be amazing. Yeah. It's not like a comic relief character or anything. It's actually showing people that they can be more than what they are, but in a really nice way.
Yeah.
And, Pixar movie. Yeah. I'm guaranteed to cry during any Pixar movie.
Definitely.
And also going back to Dragon Prince, the fact that they're not just a bunch of Anglos doing Anglo stuff. It's like, say, one of the main characters has a black dad and a white dad.
It's absolutely amazing and really well written.
So Bluey's Australian. Are there other cartoons in a similar vein that are sort of are part of a group of cartoons being made?
I think this is...
utter standout.
This is a standalone. I think this is on Disney Plus in the US at the moment, and it's going absolutely crazy over there. Like, it's starting to really kind of kick off internationally, and it's been winning awards and stuff. But what do you reckon, if there was a show that you could say is similar to Bluey, which one would you say it is? You know, if you were to say to someone, if you like Bluey, you'll like this show. It's not like anything I can...
Yeah.
Apparently...
You thought of one.
Apparently,
Pets Alive has dogs too.
But it doesn't have this kind of funniness and this type of Aussiness in it. No, there's nothing like it.
Not Aussie-like, but apparently the Winnie the Pooh 2011 animated film has got similar jokes and script writing to it. Sarah and Duck, but I don't know what that is.
Oh, Sarah and Duck's great.
Lily's
Driftwood Bay and Puff and Rock, apparently.
They're all English. Well. All English shows. Yeah. So they don't have the Australianism, but they're a little bit quirky.
But only Sarah and Duck come close to Bluey. Apparently, Bluey's better.
So I guess
we'll Sarah and Duck's a bit more whimsical. It's like a little girl and her pet duck, and they go off and they'll catch the bus and they'll talk to the moon, and it's a bit more.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like Bear in the Big Blue House.
No. Probably closer to Winnie the Pooh.
They talk to a moon in Bear in the Big Blue House.
Yeah, no, this is probably closer to Winnie the Pooh, maybe, that kind of 100 Acre Wood type of feel.
Right, okay.
Tell us what the first episode is we're going to watch.
Hairdressers.
Yeah.
Hairdressers.
That's all we'll say about it.
Okay. All right, we'll watch Hairdressers.
Okay.
We'll see you after the break. Okay, so that was Bluey. What did you think of that, Mackenzie? Was it any good?
It was her choice, so she knows how good it is.
Oh, yes, I completely forgot. So, Gypsy, what did you think?
It was fantastic. It was actually really, really good. I'm very, very impressed.
Is that what you were expecting? It's a big thing when someone talks up a kid's show.
No, the thing is, I wasn't expecting that per se, but I was expecting it to be good. So I'm not surprised at the quality and stuff. I'm not really surprised by a lot of it. Yeah, no, I'm just impressed.
So there were three episodes. There was Hairdressers. What was it? Rug Island? Yeah.
An Escape. And what was so good about it?
Well, I fell in love with the style. I thought that was really, really cool. I really liked
I was dreading the typical 3D that so many kids' animations use nowadays.
I was dreading that and like the high pitched kid voice, but it wasn't too overwhelming like a lot of shows tend to have.
It's got real kids voicing it too, which I think makes a difference.
Yeah. It does make a difference. Usually it's just an adult and they really put the pitch really high and scratchy and irritating, but
it was just like normal stuff though. It really wasn't anything fancy. It was very nice.
It's hilarious, but it's so realistic. It's not contrived. It's just the stuff that kids would just make up when they're left to their own devices.
So the thing we sort of saw there was kids making stuff up and just making up imaginary worlds and doing things with their parents.
Their
parents getting involved and playing along.
Feel like parents should watch Bluey because those two parents were absolutely fantastic.
They get on board. There's one episode I was pushing for called Dance Mode, and it was something happens and one of the parents says to Bingo, look, I owe you a favour type of thing, so I'll let you do three dance modes. And it's basically at any time she can say dance mode and then the parent
when
has to start...
Music.
When there's music and then the parent has to start dancing? Or is it everyone starts dancing?
Only one parent.
Yeah. So then they're at the post office and it's like dance mode. And so then they're like paying for their stuff at the post office while they're dancing and everyone in the shop's looking at them. But it's like, they're like, well, no, they pick dance mode. I've got to do it. I've got to get on board.
That's very cool.
And I think that's the thing. It's like the parents just kind of go along with everything and, you know, and you can tell they kind of go, oh, like, what have I been dragged into now? But they're up for it.
But you can see they love it, though, at the same time. They're like, oh, no, but you're happy, so sure. Like, it's very cute.
Angus, what did you think about this?
I thought it was really good. As I said, I was dreading that 3D and the 2D. It did the charm of the 2D animation, too. A lot of the old 2D animation shows, like The Big Nights and Albert the Fifth Musketeer, I grew up with those shows. This, it felt just like them. It just, it had the charm of the kids' shows I grew up with and are familiar to me. And yeah,
it was so really like the animation style. It was very simple, wasn't it?
It was very simple, but
it's like very heavy in shape language as well. So like there was a lot of like square sort of shapes, even though they were rounded to look friendly and stuff like that. It was square, so it had that like friendly kind of visual look to it that you don't recognize straight away.
Yeah,
it was very nice.
What I thought was interesting, that last one, Escape, where they show the kids drawing. The kids' drawings are impossible for me, impossibly complicated. But they were done in a kids' drawing style, that sort of encompassed the rest of the thing as well.
Yeah.
It was this incredibly complex things instantiated in a very simple
kids show in the sense that kids made the show. It felt like a child was behind everything.
The thing about, you know, this is our work and adults aren't allowed. It was very much coming from a child's perspective.
Which it really was, which is really good.
You could see Mackenzie was really relating to.
Yeah. The creator.
That's the problem with adults, isn't it?
Please tell me the creator's like a 5-year-old.
No, the creator's got two kids and with some of the scripts he would write, he would literally just follow the kids around for a day and just use the stuff they would do. And, you know, like there's a classic one that they've got called Grannies where they dress up as these two old grannies. It's like Gladys and Rita and they just, but they're grannies that floss and things like that. And that was literally just taken from what his kids did. Like literally just copied the kids' day. Yeah. And just saw all of these really awesome things that they made up and the stuff that they kind of came together
kids
with.
It's amazing. I used to really love when we were travelling in the car, the boys, two boys in the back seat, come up with these incredible games. Sometimes they were Star Wars games and other times it was knights and armour and fighting, but they had these ongoing imaginative games. They would just carry on and pick up from where they'd left the day before and keep playing it, and they'd amuse themselves for hours.
So what did you think of those episodes, Jeanette?
Yeah, they were fun.
Alex, what did you think?
I surprised how fast-paced it was. It was basically like 7 minutes per episode, but it did so much in each 7 minutes.
That makes the people watching.
Yeah, like I just imagining the stuff I grew up with was far more sedate compared to that. Where
But are you a sort of person that watches stuff on like a 1.5 speed?
I watch almost literally everything on YouTube at 2x speed.
Yeah. See, I feel like that's more appealing to generation in the now society. Like they've done a really, really good job at appealing.
And I guess kids have got that shorter attention spans where it's like it's got to be kind of in and out, punchy, you know. Especially like, I mean, I guess Kenzie's probably at the older end of the scale of enjoyment.
In comparison, Lost in Space was 50 minutes long. Theoretically speaking, that storyline probably could have been covered in 10...
Easily.
Yeah.
7 minutes.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, this was... It was short, it was concise, it was punchy.
Yeah.
But it did what it needed to do. It conveyed what it wanted to convey. There was no blatant sexism. There was no blatant anything. It was just like...
Yeah.
Not from the season.
Bam. There you go.
Yeah. It was a modern story.
And it was hilarious as heck.
Yeah.
I actually remember Mackenzie saying, could you please not be so loud next episode?
We were laughing too loud, weren't we?
Yeah.
That first episode, that was the first episode I ever saw. And oh my God, I still, I crack up every time I watch that episode. The hairdressers is just like...
That's fair though.
Yeah.
That is just...
Yeah. Rug Island was just...
Oh, yeah.
Heartwarmingly rude.
Rude.
Yeah. I didn't want to feel emotions.
Well, Mackenzie says she only picked the funny ones, but that gets you in the feels, that one, doesn't it?
Yeah, but that's funny one, but also like a really good
heartwarming one.
Yeah. Kids shows do that though. Like that. There you go. There's a show that appeals to the younger generation that gets both the feels and the funny all in one.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A good kids show does that. They do have that range of emotions.
Yeah, which I feel like.
I'm also just thinking probably the emotions in that episode as well ties very much to the adults as well. Like, it's after that episode was quite a lot done for the benefit of the parents as well.
Well, I mean, the parents have to watch it too.
Yes. There's a lot of kids shows that have tapped into that now. Yeah. And like, you know, your Pixar and your Disney, Sesame Street, things like that, they make it in a way that the parents will enjoy it, because if the parents like it, the child's more likely to watch
it.
You can have an Elmo, though.
No. Yeah, if you're going, I can't stand Elmo. But if you have a choice, and if you're taking your kid to the movies during the school holidays and you've got a mix of movies to watch, you're going to make them go to the one that you would want to go to the most.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what they do now.
And that's just shown in Disney movies with ridiculously inappropriate jokes.
Disney movies and Pixar movies are just, And I try to explain to a few people, like, how they're not made for kids, they're made for adults. Like, kids, they're kids' movies, but they're made for the adults. And I think a lot of people dismiss them and go, oh, yeah, there's Disney, it's a kids' movie. And it's like, no, you'd actually get a lot out of it.
And I think you need it as well, because I feel like maybe it's just me being, you know, pretentious about kids' shows these days being terrible. But it does feel as though there's a lot of kids' content that's basically just, we're doing animation for half an hour, it doesn't matter what it is, we're just filling time because and it feels like it being for kids is just an opportunity to put as little effort as possible, because kids don't have any taste. And so, like, if you don't have this sort of stuff, it's going to age terribly. It's just maybe going to be nostalgic for, like, for a generation, and you look back and realise how terrible it is and not care anymore.
I definitely feel like it's the way to pick a good parent from a bad parent, though. So there was a parent that Angus is referring to that showed their child the absolutely trashy Christmas film, and it was just played. I watched this kid try and put, like, puzzle pieces in the obviously wrong areas. Like, he tried to put a middle piece on the outside edge and match. It was 12 puzzle pieces that were, like, you know, 10-15 centimetres big by 10-15 centimetres, and it was just... Even Mackenzie could put two and two together.
Easily.
I think someone who has been turned into a vegetable would be able to work it out. I don't mean that in a mean way. I'm just saying, like, this kid who is supposed to be growing and learning and, you know, is watching trash and dribble, and it's shown very clearly by the way that their problem-solving skills come across. Whereas, like, I see your kid sitting here writing me notes during our podcasts.
Doing amazing art.
Drawing Bluey and writing Bluey on the pages,
are Mackenzie drawing and her notebook, which is full of pictures of Bluey and Bingo.
And Mackenzie's created Bingo, like, as rolling games.
He's just fooling around and, like, we need to get home. No, I'm busy doing the rolling game.
Like it's not a schmoo.
Show you how to draw Bluey and Mingo.
Yes, or maybe we can use that for the website.
That would be cool.
But I'd like to pick up on a point. You mentioned this for adults. This was almost an instruction manual for adults in a lot of ways. Like, how to play with kids. Adults.
Yeah.
So it actually acted as that instruction manual.
It did, yes. Definitely for parents.
So
I thought that was quite good.
Yes, I did too.
One thing I do love about this, I think because I've seen so many kids' shows when she was, you know, growing up, how Australian it is without being... Ochre colloquial.
Really like that.
Yeah, and you can see, like, the house they live in is definitely, it's like one of those weatherboard houses in Queensland. It's a very Queensland-centric show. But then even some of the stuff that she comes out with, and I'm like, where have you picked that up from? She uses the phrase bin chicken. Like, you know, there's like ibises. All of this stuff that, you know, you kind of go, where'd you, oh, and she started saying Dunny, and it's like there's an episode called Dunny where the kids keep saying it and the mum's like, it's just, I don't like you using that word. And I'm
because
like,
it's a bad word for them.
It's not like it's a bad word. It's just it's a word that the mum doesn't like them using. She prefers to use toilet. And I am totally
it's
the same.
Toilet.
I'm totally on the mum's side with this. I'm not a big fan of that word myself. But it's so Aussie. You know, it's just
so
really
nice
Aussie stuff.
Aussie words that are getting lost.
So
nice to see something that's promoting Australian. Because it's like Welsh programs in Welsh. When they wanted to keep the language alive, they made kids animated shows.
Yes.
I mean, it's the children. Yeah. We have to teach the children Welsh. Well, it's kind of the same with this teaching Australian children some Australianisms.
Yeah.
To stop this
Americanisation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because I just am aware roughly of the changes in generations. Like, I remember, for example, doing copywriting in a different radio station in the past and having the people who were born in the 50s and 60s saying, you're writing the dates wrong, it should be the nth of the month, not... Yeah, the 10th of January, not January 7th. And they're saying it's an Americanism that has been adopted by Australians and that I didn't know. And it's just like this minor creep of, like, say, I don't know whether I should be spelling it with, like, words with I's in them, should be spelled with an S or a Z. And feeling kind of annoyed at some of the Americanisms that have been popping up in Aussie English now.
Yes, well, I think I'm really annoyed by it. In a previous episode, I had to talk to Mackenzie because she would start saying, instead of fairy floss, she says cotton candy. And then, you know, and it's like, oh, my God. Or she started saying diapers and, you know, and I'm like, well, what's a pacifier? They keep saying pacifier. And I'm like, that's a dummy. Like, I don't know. No, we don't, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, most of our words in Australia are probably more English than American, but still, we've still got Australian terms.
And it's also as well, like, the fact that probably this is the only thing I consume today that's definitely Australian, which is kind of sad. Mm. Apart from, like, news apps, I consume social media, which is American-based, and TV shows, which are American-based, and a few people on YouTube, most of whom were American, a couple were British. But, yeah, this is the only Aussie content I've consumed so far today. That's kind of...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, more than just today, in a long time. I am trying
to collect...
Brought
to you by the Call TV.
Yes. Yeah, because this is a thing.
Sorry,
like,
why Bluey is so integral to our entertainment industry. Sorry. Because, like, it's trying to push Australia into doing it, but we're killing our entertainment industry.
Yeah.
And so this is what Bluey was trying to push. But I think, I don't know, I was reading an article that it was going to get sold to America.
I don't think so, but maybe just distributed there formal way.
Yeah, it's been distributed.
No, they were actually looking
plus.
At selling it, like, to there, is how the article was worded.
Oh, yeah.
It might have been selling
it
to the American people or selling it
No longer made in Australia, being made in America. I don't know if that's still a thing. I know it was a concern when Mackenzie initially suggested watching Bluey. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was so keen to watch it, is because, I appreciate it so much, because there's, pardon the French, but there's piss all that's made by Australia.
The only show in the past decade that, apart from things like Hard Quiz or Hungry Beast or Neighbours,
in a way.
Yeah, apart from this sort of stuff, the only show that I could basically say I genuinely enjoy and I bought on DVD and so on that I actually think is worth you watching and is going to have staying power would be Danger 5.
Oh, yes.
But there's
so low budget, though. That's part of the appeal.
It's part of the appeal, but the point is that it's Australian, almost on technicality. You could have maybe made it anywhere.
Yeah.
Even though it's actually made in Adelaide, which is cool.
Okay.
But it's basically, it feels weird having, especially, firstly, the fact that we're not making this content that lasts. But secondly, we don't seem to be doing repeats. Because, like, the only show, apart from, say, when we watched, you know, Doug Anthony All-Stars, I don't think any Australian show that's older than, like, 2010 has appeared on Australian TV in the past few years at all.
No, it really hasn't. I miss Australian TV. So we had, like, Kath and Kim, we had Lena and Woodley, we had All Aussie Adventures, which has been picked up again.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's... We don't do anything.
Yeah. There's like a few comedy shows that get popped on the ABC every so often.
Yeah.
And there's a few of these...
Thank God You're Here is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Like, and it's comedians making things.
Yeah.
In Australia.
And like the UK started doing all those comedic shows where 8 out of 10 Cats does Countdown and QI. And it's got all those same comedians in just talk show sort game show scenarios. And Australia used to do that.
Yeah.
Inter-Trip Newsweek was like the best that we got at one point, and now it's just died.
Yeah. And
I think all of that died before I grew up. So I was growing up purely stuff.
Yeah,
there was no Australian.
Like, when I was growing up, we still had shows like Fast Forward, Full Frontal. We had, like, Kevin Kim. What did they do before Kevin Kim? It was...
Big Girls Blouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of Aussie shows I would consume on a regular basis that they don't repeat and they don't air anymore. And if I wanted to find them, I'd basically have to go on YouTube and find the clips of them.
Find the old classic clips.
Of course, these things take money to make, and the ABC has been cut back.
It's a perfect example because the money's not there. Like, it's like, my parents made me watch Australian TV and stuff. I was introduced to a lot of Australian TV through my parents, whereas Angus wasn't. And there is a very big difference with that, is like the money's not there, but the viewership also isn't there, yeah, because a lot of people are like, I can go overseas to get content. I don't need Australian content. Yeah. That's where the headspace is at, and that's what we're missing.
And honestly, there's very few I watch on TV now. Yeah.
ABC, yeah. During my age,
yeah, mm-hmm.
It was Canadian cartoons.
But like Catherine yeah. Kim was on Channel 7 and stuff. Like there
not
was
by the
a
time
lot
I was growing up. As soon as I got old enough to start watching those later shows, it was Simpsons.
Right. I forgot there's an age difference.
Yeah, yeah, there is an age difference. Yeah.
The only shows that we watch that aren't on streaming networks is Bluey, which you watch on iView. We don't really tend to watch that. Well, you don't tend to watch that live. And when Lego Masters is on, we'll watch that on iView as well.
But the other thing is, as well, is Tripod, who is an Australian comedic trio, recently posted up a thing going, we've created a new album that we want everybody to listen to, but we're not putting all of our stuff up on streaming services. And this is why. Like, a lot of artists that are putting their stuff up, musical or video or anything like that, they don't get paid anything. They get nothing out of a streaming service. They might get like 20 cents, maybe, if like 100 listeners listen to their album. But that's it. So you're better off buying the content in DVD. I made an opinion last night that I will happily purchase the DVD of that sort of stuff, like the small Australian stuff, just to push them and make them like continue to do stuff. Because like
they've got to actually make ends meet as well.
That's it.
Like there's albums that I absolutely adore listening to, and I'm very annoyed that they're not on Spotify. But after seeing what they make back versus how much money they put into creating the product, I can understand why there are no Australians doing as much as I would love them to be doing. Yeah. Because we just go, oh, if it's not on a streaming service, we don't want to watch it. Or if it's not easily accessible, we don't want to watch it. And it's sad.
So I'm just looking through a list of shows from ABC, and when I realised I'd forgotten was Double the Fist. It was basically, nobody else has heard of it, because it aired at like 10 o'clock at night, because
I remember hearing about it, but I think just because the name, it never appealed to me.
Yeah,
it probably sounds a bit,
feels a bit, it's basically like Jackass, but more goofy. It's like,
oh gosh, okay.
Yeah.
No. It's basically,
it was a remake of was it an English show that they had?
No.
I'm trying to think, there was an English show where they used to do like almost like improv characters, and they'd go out and they'd film stuff, and it was almost like they'd have dares.
Like
Balls of Fury. Yes. I was confused.
It's not like that at all.
Yeah,
it's scripted and it's silly, and it's basically, trying to explain it, and I'm explaining it really badly, but basically it's a bunch of characters and they're basically just proving themselves to be fist worthy, and it's very silly and slapstick quite a bit, and I'm really saying it's short. I think when it gets to the 20-year-old cutoff, I'm gonna have it, because it's not the best show in the world, but it was one of those shows which is really funny, and it was a show I really enjoyed watching when I was a youngster, and we don't really make shows like that anymore. It's just like this little thing which is funny, and I think it's got lasting power, but you know, it disappears into the cracks. It's not like none of you have heard of it at all, and we don't have repeats on Australian TV, and we don't have these shows like this on streaming platforms. So if it isn't like discovering that a lot of the shows that would have come from the 70s and 80s, I wouldn't even have heard of if I didn't look them up properly. So it's not just the fact that there's so much content being made overseas, it's the fact they've got this archive of content.
We don't save anything in the 90s and 80s. I was talking to someone who was like heavily into anthology of like the Doug Anthony All-Stars and a lot of the older stuff that came through the 90s, and we just don't have it.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. A lot like our own news as well, we don't keep anything that was on paper during the 90s and 80s and early 2000s. It's just a dead zone of
What's the same as Australia? Literature. Yeah. Australia's had a lot of great writers, but nobody's ever heard of them. Their books have not been reprinted. They've been forgotten. Nobody would have heard of any of them.
There's really, you know, if you try looking for it, you really can't find it.
There are some Australian
maybe
films.
Maybe through libraries.
There's one I think of this too. I think there's like a boom during the 90s. Things like Priscilla or Strictly Ballroom. There's a few.
Really
during
began
the 90s.
With Hanging Rock in the late 70s. 80s and 90s, so I went through the 80s and 90s as a boom in Australian film.
Yeah, and those are mostly, not necessarily forgotten, but just they don't get brought up in the same way other movies do.
No.
I'm just realising I can name like three New Zealand films, which is scary. It's like the fact that they have What We Do in the Shadows and stuff like
such
that.
Such a good movie.
Yeah.
For the list.
Yeah, the fact that's a New Zealand film. Can you name an Australian film made in the past decade?
Yes, Red Dog.
Yeah.
Red Dog is incredible.
Okay,
Dressmaker?
Yeah. Which has got Kate Winslet in it.
Yeah, so yeah. It just feels like, especially yeah, like right, with the work of Taika Waititi, him in particular, but a few other New Zealand artists, it feels as though, like, say, Flight of the Conchords, it's an American show, but they're Kiwis. And yeah, I feel like the Kiwis are almost punching above their weight compared to us.
They've always
done so. We claim Kiwi things all the time.
Yeah. See, one of the things they had in New Zealand, and I don't know whether it's changed, but I know a couple of decades ago it was the case, on their television stations, they had to have a certain percentage of New Zealand made television. And a lot of the times they would get around that by doing, you know, all of those New Zealand documentary shows, like Border Patrols and Highway Patrols and all of those types of shows. Yeah, because a lot of that was because they have to physically have New Zealand shows on the air on the stations, which Australians don't have that rule.
No, no, no. Well, Australia does have that rule.
We got rid of it.
Yeah. What happens is that Sunshine, the morning show and the afternoon show, and the news show counts, and they're half the time, and that counts.
Well, there's a couple of really good Australian shows that I've just discovered this year, but they passed me by when they first came on. So one is Rake, which was an ABC show with Richard Roxburgh, and it's a really gritty law show. And the other one is a show called Spirited, which was only shown on Foxtel at the time when it came out. Yeah. It had Claudia Carvin and I think it's Matt Wood, who's like an English actor. And it's absolutely brilliant. And I got to it's like two seasons, and I'm getting towards the end of the second season, and I'm like, I wonder whether they're going to bring out a new season. And I'm like, oh, no, they're not, because it finished years ago and I missed the boat at the time, and this is it. And I was,
I also remember a show that aired, I think, a decade ago. It was called Laid. It was a weird little sitcom about a woman who discovers that all of her past boyfriends have died in weird, strange ways.
Like, oh, I remember. Yeah. She was on Triple J at the time when it came out. Yeah, she wrote it, I think.
Yeah, and it's just the fact that it was a funny show and I enjoyed watching it and I forgot about it completely. It's kind of
there's
the
a
thing.
Show called Woodley that's written by Frank Woodley. There's like a season of it, maybe two, that is amazing. You could only see it on the ABC at a very specific time and I don't know where to find it. So if you know, please leave a comment somewhere, please. I'll see it, don't worry. But there's Woodley. There was a movie that came out recently about a paper plane competition.
Oh, Paper Planes.
Paper Planes. I really want to watch that.
I think that's on Disney Plus and Netflix.
There's one that's about a woman or a man, I can't remember, someone wants to be a ballerina, big time ballerina, and it's a story about them, and that sounds really, really cool.
That's Australian. It's not Billy Elliot.
No, it's not Billy Elliot and it's not Black Swan. It's actually like they just want to make it big time. And I really want to see that because that sounds really, really cool. There was an old TV show called The Librarians.
Oh, yes.
I want to see that. I've never seen it. It sounds really
cool. And what is it? Wayne Hope and Robin. Oh, I can't remember. They did Librarians, Upper Middle Bogan. They've done quite a few shows over the years as a collaboration. They're great.
Chasers and Frontline is what we're missing. Yes. Like, great. Frontline is great. The piss out of current affairs.
CNN was the best.
One show, also the Sean McCarthy program.
Oh, Mad as Hell is still great. I love Mad as Hell.
Sideshow and Big Gig showcasing all the Australian talent.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Upside Down show by the Umbilical Brothers, which is American made, but it's Australian people, I believe. There's a lot that we miss out on and we don't get.
Is there anything else that you want to say about Bluey, Mackenzie?
What kind of food is Bluey, Mackenzie?
Because Bluey's blue, I thought blueberry.
Blueberry
pie.
I was thinking blueberry muffin.
I was thinking a barbecue. Ooh.
Yeah.
Something Aussie outdoors.
Talking of Aussie terms, the correct Aussie term for barbecue is chop picnic.
Hey!
Barbecue's an Americanism. I found out recently.
Maybe blueberry cupcake or something. Something that people do think is like, oh, that's food for kids sort of thing, but it's just as amazing no matter how old you are.
I know what it is. I know what it is. But it's another Australian reference.
What?
Banana, na, 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 Barbie on the beach by the Wiggles.
Yeah.
You know that one,
on the beach.
Yeah, it's like banana, na, 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 Barbie on the beach. Banana, na, 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 Barbie on the beach. And the Wiggles go to an island and they just did an entire video about having a Barbie on a beach. Great big
Barbie
holiday.
On the beach.
You know what's up.
Now, I know you guys were all a big fan of all three episodes, but was there one that was a favourite for everyone?
Rug Island.
Rug Island.
Rug Island.
Oh, you guys all love
Escape.
Because like when you said it was about them imagining stuff, I wasn't sure whether showing it for their point of view or for the realistic point of view, and I just like the fact that it was just the textures were everything, and just it is how it would look if you were looking at it in real life.
Escape brought back memories for me because that's what our car trips were often like.
Escape was the best.
And the whole Escape episode was good. People, you know, making up things in the car. Mm.
Yeah, that's why I like it.
But Rug Island, where the dad goes, sorry, I have to go to work, and then ends up just playing with the kids. Like, how can that not sit well with anyone?
I did wonder, though,
why was the dad lying on the lawn instead of going to work, though? Did he come home and he was playing with them after work?
He probably saw the sadness in his kid's face or something.
No, I just assumed it was like at 5pm he got home and he was like, maybe it was a homework.
Oh, he was working from home like I do.
Yeah.
Oh, he had his backpack.
Well, no, because the mother walked out with the backpack and said, "You gotta go. My ship is here." I think he just called in and said, "I'll be in late." Yeah. Like Angus said.
Oh, and then decided to play some pretend with them.
Yeah, and then
what a cool parent though to say, "I'm gonna be a bit late. I'm gonna play with my kid." I never do that to you.
How dare you? What do I say? I say, go in the other room, watch some TV.
I've got to do my 8 hours.
Realistically, you can't do it. 8 hours. Anyway, so that was Bluey.
Good choice, by the way, Mackenzie. Thank you very much.
It was a really good pick. Thank you, Mackenzie.
Better taste than a mother, I know.
Better taste than my mama. And my last one was Astro Boy.
So goodbye from the Cop Kitty.
Bye.
Bye.